Welcome to the Florida Madcaps, your ultimate guide to experiencing fantastic and unique destinations across our magnificent state. Join us while we lead you on a journey of exploration, recreation, and conservation. The popularity of Florida's natural wonders is on the rise, and our mission is to be your go-to source for conscientious recreation. We encourage you to get out and explore these breathtaking sites, and to leave them even better than you found them, through individual actions and group advocacy. Join the Florida Madcaps as we discover the beauty of our incredible state together.
Everyone, welcome to the Florida Madcaps podcast. It's me, Ryan, aka the Florida Excursionist, and I'm here with the Florida famous Sunshine State Seekers, Chris and Chelsea, Chelsea, Chris, Chelsea, and Tori. However you want to call it.
I guess all three of us are here.
Howdy doody.
Two of us will be speaking.
Yes.
This little one, I've hiked with him so much and a lot of podcast episodes with him that, you know, finally we'll get to meet him. All right. So today we're talking about a place that is very near and dear to the Sunshine State Seekers, some of the natural lands in Seminole County. I've done a lot of recreating in Seminole County. State forests is where I've done most of it. But at the same time, northeast of Orlando, how Seminole County goes about placing a premium on conserving some of these lands, I know there has to be development pressure to do that better,
because I
know you're involved.
I think there's a quote in Harry Potter that describes our fight with development, and it's constant vigilance. Never stop. And a lot of people say, you know, it's going to happen someday. Mm-hmm. Just give up. But it hasn't, you know, there's, if you follow conservation, I mean, it's easy to get discouraged. But there's a lot of people that speak up who stop things from happening. And on a local level, that's the best way to keep things from happening.
That's inspiring to me, because so many other places in Florida, including the county that I reside in, development is just going roughshod all over the place with little or no opposition.
This one really hits close to home. You know, Chelsea and I, both of us have lived here probably about 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I'd say I moved here in elementary school. Now, I haven't been here 30 years continuously because I've moved away. I moved to Oregon for a few years and came back. But most of my life I've spent since my childhood here. My parents, when I wasn't living here, my parents still lived here in Seminole County. They're on the more developed side of Seminole County, mm-hmm. more populated in Altamont Springs. And when I moved back here, my ex-husband's uncle lived in Chiliota. And I was like, man, I love that spot. It's like right at the beginning of nothing. So, and I kind of joke out where we live, you can go one direction and be in the city, and the next direction, the same distance, and be in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
And within like 10 minutes, it's great.
Kind of also funny enough, which is not directly related to conservation, but I couldn't help but to notice when I'm driving over here, sometimes I pass through the town called Taint.
Taintsville.
It's Taintsville. Oh. Taint Chuliota.
And it Taint Oviedo. Oh, yeah.
Bought a one-way ticket to Taintsville.
Well, I stand corrected, and I've learned something new.
And I've looked it up, and from what I can tell, that's really how it got its name. It's not a joke.
Really?
Yes. Now, it's incorporated into Oviedo. I'm pretty sure now it's not its own. It doesn't have like its own zip code or anything like that. But yeah, it's very near us. So near that when I first moved here, my phone would geotag me as living in Taintsville, and I would get a lot of attention from my friends in Oregon.
She taint kidding.
Okay, I can understand taint, but you have to put the Ville on the back of it to really drive it home, or...
I don't see what's so funny about it. So anyway, speaking of conservation, I owe a lot of my conservationist sensibilities to my grandfather, who lived in Chiliota here for a great number of years, who worked really hard on doing the rural boundary.
So if you're from the area, you've heard about the rural boundary. They pretty much mention the rural boundary some way in every single election.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
In 2004, the voters in Seminole County decided that they wanted almost a third of the entire county. And this is now it's the fourth most populated county in the state.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, it was heavily populated because we're our close proximity to Orlando.
Yes.
They voted to cordon off a third of the county into this rural boundary where you can't build a house on less than generally 5 acres, okay, which is huge.
Yeah.
And that by itself is protecting rural life, but ultimately conserving so much land.
I was going to say, there are pockets, if you're driving through the rural boundary area, there are pockets that have been grandfathered in that already had some development. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So this was regarding new development that was coming into the area. And every now and then, something's given a pass for one reason or another. But that's, again, something we're always fighting. Because I think one of the... Sometimes you hear things and you want to say, okay, well, let's allow this, but it does set a legal precedent. If you allow one thing,
yes, it certainly gets
the ball, yep, rolling to where more and more things come. Next thing you know, you got Chick-fil-A 5 seconds from your house, which we're trying to avoid. Nothing against Chick-fil-A, I'm sure, but we have one like 10 minutes down the road. Just go to that one.
You guys are fighting Chick-fil-A?
Not really. But no. We're not, I'm using them as an example of chain restaurants that pop up next to Publix's, that pop up next to McDonald's, that pop up next to Starbucks, and they breed like rabbits.
Yeah. I've heard a number of fights. Usually they're against a Dollar General or...
We don't have a Dollar General here. There is one in Oviedo. So, yeah.
I think you guys are close enough to...
There might be one right in East Orlando, not too far from us. Mm. But yeah, nothing like that here.
A lot of this started as, I think, a lot of things with our rivers. And we have two very celebrated rivers in our county. And one of them is the Wekiva and the Econ, both of which eventually dump into the St. John's River. Those ended up being protection zones before anything else.
Getting a floodplain protected is a lot easier than, for example, getting a scrub protected.
Yes,
it's a lot harder to build on a floodplain than it is. The scrub's like the ideal environment for construction. Because Seminole County has a lot of floodplain, that's one of the reasons they're able to protect so much land.
Yeah, the whole eastern portion doesn't even make any sense to try to build on it because it's ultimately going to flood.
Yeah, because
it does flood.
Say it isn't so.
Luckily, where we live, our home isn't personally affected. But every time it floods, our commutes are affected. Our access to getting goods sometimes is affected. Your children's route to school is affected. But our homes personally are not affected where we are.
Around Lake Harney, didn't that get national attention? Because after, was it Ian? That they were sealed in for so long.
It's like every hurricane. Yeah.
Chelsea's best friend.
Yeah, my best friend lives on Lake Harney.
Flooded in for a month.
Mm-hmm. She had to kayak.
Her kids couldn't go to school.
Yeah, her kids couldn't go to school. She kayaked to the end of her road for like 2 weeks or more.
Really?
To meet the Kroger truck that delivered groceries to her. Her house was above water, but the road to get in and out of her neighborhood was completely underwater. And it kind of like you do what you have to do, but there's a lot of septic tanks.
Yeah.
And trudging through that water.
Well, that becomes a problem too.
Yeah.
And all those septic tanks aren't great for the water table anyway. Yeah. But especially when it floods like that.
You see my face right now.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It is, that is a very frightful thought.
Stinky situation.
To say the least.
So the last few storms that came through, the water table so far seems to be permanently affected. Not permanently, but at least for now. It's still pretty high.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
long
term.
And we saw that today.
So Geneva Wilderness area is still partly underwater. And we tried to visit Lake Proctor today. And it's still over a year after, well, almost a year, I guess.
Yeah.
Since Ian has been here, the trails are underwater.
And just to note, we're currently in more of a, we're not in a drought.
Yeah.
But we haven't.
We even
received the amount of rains we usually receive.
We haven't had water feeding these lakes, and they're still high.
Yes, because I saw one of the little kind of prairie lakes today, and some of the sand hills close to where I live, maybe like Jennings, they're very seasonal. So they'll get some water and then they drain, but you don't get the amount of life. But yeah, there was a lot of minnows. And one that was...
That little small one in Lake Proctor today.
Yeah, one that I would expect to drain out.
It was odd. It was one that you would definitely... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I did not expect to see that in the little... It was a large mud puddle that, you know, that size, you know, that were around some trees.
So something happened in the hard pan, and it's holding a lot more water. So these are all things to consider.
And I think that's going to be an issue also further down the road. I mean, we all go through periods of drought and periods of excessive water. Since I've been living here, which has been about 12 years, I've been living in my house. The water situation has gotten worse as far as our flooding events, more so than our drought situations. Now we are very close to the Econ State Forest, so the drought situations have been bad as well when it comes to promoting forest fires. The year I met Chris, actually just before I met him, we had quite a few forest fires, and one of them right in his grandma's backyard.
Wow.
Yeah, it was. I remember the day I had polarized sunglasses on, and I'm looking out, and I see this weird, like, oily look in the sky when I had my polarized lenses on, and I took them off. I'm like, it's weird. I don't see anything there.
It was a Girl Scout camp.
Yeah, it was the smoke just forming.
Oh, really?
My polarized lenses could pick it up, but the naked eye couldn't pick it up. And yeah, I remember. I think I packed up my kids and went to my mom's house because I was like, I don't know what's going to happen. It's within walking distance of my home.
Okay, yeah.
And honestly, actually, the neighborhood right next to me was part of what got burnt down.
Honestly, part of that problem, though, is this is a scrub habitat that has been fire suppressed for 50 plus years.
Mm.
And scrub habitat generally has a 30-year cycle. So once those sand pines get like that and build up all that fuel, it just goes up.
Yeah.
It burns a lot hotter and more intense than it normally should had received regular fire. A lot of Florida's habitats are fire dependent. Florida receives a extremely high number of lightning strikes, you know, within the state's boundaries compared to everywhere else in the world. I mean, in the 90s, I think it was the world capital for lightning strikes. And that means forest fires. A lot of these that have become fire dependent.
For thousands of years.
Yes. And now that we suppress fire, well, that changes things.
Well, I think that actually happened in the late 90s because we used to suppress it here. And I remember it might have been late 90s, early 2000s when we had a slew of wildfires coming through Florida, this area, Daytona, New Smyrna.
98.
It was 98?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just lots. I remember because when I was that age, I had just started driving and I would drive to the beach a lot. And I just remember being like, oh my gosh, like fires to the left of me and to the right and I'm driving to the beach. You know? The road was clear and everything was open. But it was after that is when we kind of as a state decided to start changing our practices.
Mm-hmm.
How's that song? Fires to the left of me, fires to the right.
I don't think that's how it goes.
Oh, fins, yes.
Jimmy Buffett, the great Florida prophet.
So Seminole County Natural Lands, and this is a story in and of itself. And it started in 1990, and I don't have all of the records and everything to find all of this out, but I know my grandfather, Stan Stevens, was very involved with getting all this stuff off the ground with a number of other people as a county. Created the natural lands and the wilderness areas in 1990. We voted on it, and the citizens of the county decided that they wanted a bit of their tax money to go towards funding acquisition of natural lands.
Okay.
So it was like 1990 at first, and I might have these dates off.
Mm-hmm.
Another 10 years later, they got some more money acquisitioned to get more lands. So in Seminole County, we have 8 wilderness areas and 1 preserve, which is actually famous with the folks that grew up here.
Yeah, it's in your 5th grade year is the coolest field trip in the whole wide world. And I can say that it was quintessential to who I am today because it's the Florida Mud Walk.
I've heard you mention this before.
Yes. Now, you take a, I think, 10, 11-year-old me at the time and say, we're going out to the forest. You got to duct tape your shoes to your pants so the mud doesn't suck it off. And we're just going to go traipsing through the swamp. You want to? That was like, what? I can do that? But it just, I was so amazed. I actually remember being slightly disappointed that it wasn't wetter and muddier, but it was still pretty wet and muddy. It was, you did have the suction, the mud sucking or the boot sucking mud. And I've been addicted to swamp hiking ever since. Now my parents weren't that into that kind of thing. They're very outdoorsy, but most people don't want to hike through a swamp. So when I met Chris and we first started hiking, and it just reignited that spark of how much I love to getting my feet wet.
Basically, was it trails or they just turned you loose through a swamp or how did it work?
It was very, very organized in the sense everyone had a little duct tape name tag they mm-hmm. put on them too. And you go in a row and they went, there was a swampy section they took you back to. There's a whole slew of trails. Back there, slew of trails. Yeah. and I'm sure it was probably Jim Doobie leading the hike at that point in time, who is a very respected biologist that just retired.
Just saying the next wilderness preserve should be named after him.
I think so. He is an amazing person. He's retired, not deceased. So
he did an excellent important job note. For accounting for a long time.
Yes.
Okay. For the wilderness areas.
You know someone is big environmentally when you're on the other side of the state, pretty much as far from Seminole County you can get and still be in Florida, and you're talking to someone at Torreya State Park who's bird watching, and you kind of mention where you're from, and they're like, oh, yeah, I got a buddy who works for Seminole County Lands over there. And we're like, well, Jim Doobie? And he's like, yeah, you know Jim Doobie? I do. So, like, he just a great guy, great human all around. And
oh, nice.
Has done amazing things for the county.
Yeah, that's good.
So I think we should do a rundown real quick
okay.
of the parks. We'll start in the northwest corner. We have Black Bear Wilderness Area.
All right.
Which is a highly celebrated park that is a 7-mile loop that runs right along the St. John's River.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't know. I've never been there.
Oh, someday I'll take you there.
Mm-hmm. It's a thorn.
I sense that. I'm really getting those vibes.
So it's not completely natural, but you get a sense of what these floodplain forests look like mm-hmm. at that one.
Okay.
And then
it's also a good place to get rescued. And this is why I've never been there.
Oh, my dad.
Just to say, because I don't want people to think we're bickering. He had hiked with his father there, and they fell off the berm, and he broke his leg, and they had to be rescued.
Chris, you broke yours?
I broke my dad's leg.
Oh.
Yeah, brutal. I fell on him, and yeah, it was a huge ordeal where the Seminole County Fire Department had to carry him out on what they called a taco, where it's like 3 buff firefighter dudes on each side, like carry him down this trail that had
pygmy rattlesnakes on every corner.
I can't make this up. You know, like they weren't striking, but if they were, it'd be a little crazier. But they ended up getting him out and taking him down to St. John's to the hospital. But that was
How long ago was this?
About 10 years ago.
10?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a while ago.
So have you been back since?
He's been back.
Okay.
Yeah. But, I swear I'll take her someday.
Maybe I should not want to go. Yeah. I don't know. That might be when I have to start worrying when he's like, hey, I really think we should go here.
The old reverse psychology on it, huh?
But what's another park?
I think if we logically move to the next one, And this isn't one I guess a whole lot of people can talk about. I did a little maintenance with them because we are volunteers.
For Seminole County, yes.
Lake Jessup Wilderness Area is
beautiful.
One.
It's beautiful.
It's incredibly beautiful. It's this. It's just on the north side of Lake Jessup in this palm hammock and so
the
pretty.
Oaks and yeah. And there's an observation tower.
It's still not open. It's been closed for years because after Ian like washed away this boardwalk they put in there, or a bridge or something. But
oh yeah. Man, how big was the observation tower?
Am I mixing it up with a different park?
Yeah, that's the St. John's Water Management on the south end, which is also a really cool property.
Yeah, and in Seminole
it's
County.
It's in Seminole County.
And
yeah.
it's pretty close to it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's on the other, on the opposite side of the, but yeah. I think if we logically move from there, we have the Black Hammock Wilderness Area that has a really cool boardwalk.
Yep.
That goes out over the water and also, not water, like swamp.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's water. It's swampy water.
something I didn't mention about the Black Bear Wilderness Area is they have a really ADA accessible
boardwalk.
Oh,
it's the whole thing, right? Or is it just
no?
Just I'm sorry because I haven't been, so I just
the
see
beginning
the pictures.
Of it. but they recently installed. They expanded the parking lot, and they recently installed a concrete walkway that goes down to it. So, yeah.
I think Seminole County does a great job with trying to make their parks
the accessibility.
Not all of them, but
let's move from here to Lake Harney.
That's my favorite example.
Talk about accessibility.
Of great accessibility in any park. They have a great observation tower that you can take a wheelchair. Is it all the way up to the top or the second level?
Oh, the top.
Yeah, all the way up to the top. It's a slow incline because you don't want a big incline for an accessibility ramp because it's a dangerous situation if you lose control of your wheelchair.
Basically from the parking area.
Yeah, and it's
this long, slow.
Yeah, and it doesn't have landings. It goes up just a very slight incline the whole time to the top. And it's absolutely stunning. You get this great view of the
floodplain for Lake Harney.
Absolutely beautiful. Great place to watch the sunset.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'll have to check that
out. You have to be back to your car before the sun sets because they'll lock you in.
So you get what, like 70% of the sunset?
And yes.
You get
a
roll out?
And they have a little side trail that goes to the St. John's River, which is cool.
Yeah.
Oh. Really nice little trail.
I want to check that out next time.
Yeah.
And most of the Seminole County lands
next time you
are,
come back, I mean, for real.
Yeah.
Seminole County's got some great wilderness areas.
Would you say most of them are dawn to dusk?
Yeah.
The hours. So you just have to keep that in mind. Certain ones have gates that will lock you in. Certain ones don't.
Lake Proctor. You want to talk about your experience today at Lake Proctor?
No, it was great.
Besides the flooded trails. But
yes. Yeah.
And that was what we were talking about earlier. Something happened to the hard pan where it's holding water now.
When I went through the Springs Academy with the Florida Springs Institute, they did look at the confining layers and all the factors that played into what are going back in the aquifer or, you know, to just kind of stay on top. So very interested to see what's going on with it here. But yeah, Lake Proctor was very nice. I enjoyed all the little prairie ponds that had a lot of wildlife there. And that was the highlights of it. There were some trails that went around them, but they were closed just due to flooding. Just beautiful. And they're doing some restoration there. Some prescribed burns. They've already cut down some of the vegetation.
Yeah, they did, what is it called? A mechanical treatment?
Yeah, extensive mechanical restoration.
So that's where they kind of chop up all the plants, and then they go back in later and burn the debris. It's because we have a lot of development in the areas and busy roads, they try to avoid creating as much smoke. Smoke can be potentially dangerous on our busy streets, as well as dangers to structures if the fires do, for some reason, get out of control. They had a great burn program that we went to, actually, last year, where they went into detail about how they decide an area is ready to be burnt, what the steps...
Learn and burn.
Yeah, it was called a learn and burn.
The county put it on, and you could join in.
They
it
have
like
a really
$10 or
a lot of good programs.
For a family.
Was Burner Bob there?
No.
He was not.
Maybe next year.
We should file a complaint. Mm-hmm. So that can take us to our next area that we went to today.
We did. We did both today. So we left Lake Proctor because we found that the trails were still underwater, unfortunately. And then we showed Ryan Geneva Wilderness Area.
Which is very nice as well.
And within the Geneva Wilderness Area is the Yarbrough Educational Center. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
And that is where we did the Learn and Burn. That's also where my kids have attended summer camp. They have eco summer camp. Lyra has done the, she did the edible plants. And that's Lyonia, her trail name. And still, it has been a few years, but that knowledge, she's like, you can eat this, you can eat this. She loves finding the grapes when we're out and about, and blueberries. And it's funny because both of them have since done the Wakaiva camp.
Yeah.
And their biggest complaint was, those rangers don't even know you can eat blueberries. Those rangers don't know you can do this. And that was more of a fun camp for kids, and it's a sleepaway camp, mm-hmm. where the Yarbrough Center is an educational camp.
But so, as we were walking down the trail that was created, Brian was saying, like, man, this is my type of trail.
Yes. Going
down through the sandy, like, sand pine. And
oh, yeah. Because you had some of the oaks and other, you know, trees just creating, like, this tunnel in certain areas. And the sun was shining. It was pretty hot, and it provided shade, but
in
also
August,
this great view.
In Florida, it was warm?
In Central Florida. Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the little trail there, it opens up to what a really long dock.
Yeah.
That you walk down to the end, and like a little ADA accessible fishing dock. I guess you have to get down that trail first. But
yeah.
It was really nice. You saw a great blue heron there. It was just posing for the camera, it appeared to be. And then when she stopped taking pictures, he decided to move on.
And that park also has primitive camping, and you can do birthday parties there. You can rent out the pavilion. You can rent out the educational center. And the pricing is pretty affordable.
Wow.
Yep.
Nice.
So we didn't get to Chulioto Wilderness Area. We really wanted to take Ryan there today.
But that was we wanted to take him. We'll have to save it for next time, but that's our, mine and Chris's first child together. Or adopted.
We adopted it.
So if you go to the Chulioto Wilderness Area, it has an adoption sign adopted by the Sunshine State Seekers.
I've seen photos of it online.
So if you're impressive. There, send us pictures and we'll send you a sticker. How about that?
Yeah.
We got stickers to spare.
It is a gorgeous sand pine rosemary scrub with these scarlet calamints and all kinds of rare plants. And you know, I don't necessarily recommend on the eastern side of the property that it gets really wet. And maybe if you have a horse, you can trot through there. That's great. But if you're going to go out and explore, just explore the little scrub side of it.
This and the Florida National Scenic Trail
goes right
there. Yep. That makes it even better.
Yes. The FNST runs right through there.
So we've come across many through hikers at that bench.
As it comes out of this Charles Bronson.
Yeah.
And I think because I know we're getting close here. We have the Econ Wilderness, because I don't want to leave any out. And the Econ Wilderness, I also think, is an awesome property. It's one that they've spent a lot of time mechanically, and they're having a lot of difficulty with the burning there, because it's
very urban.
Yes. So they purchased that years and years ago before these. It's right by UCF.
So, yeah, you got all the student housing all around it. But it's extremely popular with the students and the people who live in the area. It was recently threatened for development.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
We had some unsavory folks.
Now it's mostly...
Try to say that they wanted to trade it for something else. Yeah. And we are lucky because, again, and let's segue real quick from there, because also the Econ Wilderness, Sandhills Restoration has a lot of flatwoods. Beautiful property. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to cover the very last part here, that we went to a Board of Commissioners meeting.
Yes, recently.
The Board of County Commissioners, BCC. And they've been working on this forever.
Yes.
And it's called Seminole Forever, based after the Florida Forever program.
Okay, yep.
And it was a means for allocating a tiny bit of taxes towards acquisition of lands.
Acquisition and upkeep.
Yes. And okay. and there's so much more involved there, because as they're acquisitioning, they have to factor in how are we going to maintain these properties. But that's a good thing to think about too, because we really do have a lot of volunteer input. Hmm. But anyhow.
And that was voted for unanimously?
Unanimously.
Impressive.
Our five commissioners decided we're going to move forward with a acquisition plan.
And Chris was one of the people who spoke up at the meeting.
I did speak at the meeting.
I think we should post a little clip of that video. It's quite lovely.
Oh, I'd like to see it. Watching Chris, you know, in conservation.
Telling everyone
action.
What's up.
Yeah. I think that they were pretty on board to begin with. Yeah. But I wanted to add my two cents, and I threw it in there, and as with some other people. And I like, and that's just another thing. Get involved with your community, you know?
Yeah, the best way to make any kind of difference government-wise is locally, 100%.
And so it passed.
Yep.
We might be here speaking about another one opening in a couple of years.
Oh, now, that's good.
Let's see what time says down the road. We'll see how long forever means it within bureaucracy. It might mean 3 years, might mean five. It might mean beyond our lifetime, at least, and hopefully past that.
I would
love for it to actually mean something. Fortunately, but we'll keep fighting.
Yeah. Unfortunately, conservation easements can be repealed, as I learned. So it's something to definitely keep in mind.
Maybe 20 years from now, little Tori will be like, my dad talked at that meeting and this little property's here now.
Or he'll be like, I'm moving to New York. I hate the forest. We'll see how well how much he rebels.
Well, I'll tell you what, this area of Seminole County is absolutely beautiful. I enjoy it when I come to visit. I drive down 44 from 95, you know, kind of the Midlands exit, and just seeing some of this vast wilderness on either side of the road is something else. I hope that they continue to preserve it and resist the demands of development to develop some of these areas, because they are important. But with that being said, thank you for tuning in, and enjoy Florida responsibly.
Thank you for listening to the Florida Madcaps. We hope today's episode was enjoyable. Your input is important to us. If there is a topic that you would like to know more about, please let us know. The Florida Madcaps is presented in partnership with the Florida Springs Council, the only nonprofit advocacy organization focused solely on protecting our Florida Springs. Get a free spring sticker and join the Florida Springs Council at floridaspringscouncil.org/madcaps. As a token of our appreciation, we are giving away a free Madcap sticker to anyone who leaves us a review. All you have to do is send us your contact information to the email provided in our show notes. We will take care of the rest. Thank you for being a part of the Florida Madcaps community.